Good evening and welcome to the Psych Coffee Shop. I'm Ace tonight. Joining me tonight is Carrie Hummingbird. How are you, darling?
I am well. I'm doing well tonight. I actually had some coffee earlier today, so yeah. I'm ready.
I've been trying this new one. It's supposed to be low acid. It's got some other stuff in it. So hopefully that, you know, that gets a little bit better. You know, because we're going through some shifts, and when we go through shifts, it's always fun to play with the psychics. You know, stomach.
That's always fun. True.
Yes.
Yeah. We're definitely been in a lot of shifts. It's been fun, hasn't it?
It has been.
This is the ride we came for.
You know, I want a refund. I want to check the warranty on this.
You want to go to a different amusement park?
Yes. You know, like, I don't know. Pilates looks nice this time of year.
Super friendly there and lots of sunshine.
Yeah. Right. You know, I can deal with that. So you've got a few books out. What has been your favorite one?
My latest one is always my favorite one. let's say that the public's favorite one is still The Second Wave, Transcending mm-hmm. the Human Drama. And I don't mm-hmm. know if I talked to you about that one, but this is the cover. So you can see the rainbow eye.
Mm-hmm.
And that yes. is like purposely symbolic, the rainbow eye.
Right.
So,
very symbolic.
Here it is. And that was at the beginning of my channeling ability mm-hmm. and realizing right. that I could actually do that because I didn't mm-hmm. know I could. And yeah, so that one's the public's favorite. It's been on the charts now for 233 or wow. 4 weeks. I don't know exactly. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Across 5 countries. That's popular. And
yeah, very much so.
My favorite is my new book. So my favorite is Inner Medicine. And I love this
yes.
one. Because it's got a pretty cover. It's kind of hard to see, but you see like the purple?
Mm-hmm. Purple, it's a gorgeous
stars
book. Covers are gorgeous
with like the earth in the center. I mean, there's it's mm-hmm. pretty. So anyway, mm-hmm. besides which, I tell a lot of really cool inner medicine stories in there, and so I like storytelling. So that's my current favorite book, but I still love the Second Wave book. It was really great. And then of mm-hmm. course, Love is Fierce, Healing the Mother Wound was probably my most challenging book I wrote and the most work.
Right. I would say so, because the mother wound has a lot of things that go into it.
Yeah, it was hard on my dietary, you know, my tract, everything, the GI, everything. It's like, mm-hmm. because everything is embodiment, right? So it was right. a very hard book to do the medicine of and to actually work right. my way through and put right. out there.
So with the inner medicine one, what's it about? What's your premise there?
So inner medicine is about the integration of earth medicine
mm-hmm.
through the lens of indigenous people, through the lens of okay. people who are close to the earth. And, okay. you know, so it takes you on a medicine wheel journey. It takes you through the south, the west, the north, and the east. It helps you to access the primary animal archetypes and
mm-hmm.
to, you know, really go on your own journey of inner medicine by reading the book.
Right.
So it's an open ceremony. So when you go through the book, you're actually getting a flavor of those energies and those archetypes, mm-hmm. and they're working with you while you're reading and while you're moving through the material. So
right.
it's like initiates a living workshop, and mm-hmm. that's the fun of it, I think, you know, and then you can have your own experiences of it.
Right. And what I find interesting is you take on different meditations. Like when you get the book, it comes with a whole set of meditations included, from rattle meditation to smoke, you know, tobacco cleansing meditation, you know, shielding, which is a hot topic right now, to shield, not to shield, when to shield, how to form shields, I don't know. That's been a lot of talk here lately. But your final meditation there, cleaning up to the astral patterns meditation. What's that about, Erling?
So I'm not sure about that one. I'm not sure.
Okay.
The bands of power and protection is mm-hmm. one of the ones that's in there. Let me see what you're talking about. So in the inner medicine download, so when you go to carriehummingbird.com/ inner medicine, all one word, you can download for free the meditation pack. So it's got a grounding meditation, a shielding meditation, a tobacco clearing meditation, a rattle clearing, winds of protection and power activation, which is part of the Munai Ki with the four winds. I was studying with the four winds, Light Body School of Alberto Villaldo, and so I'm able to transmit the Munai Ki activations to people. So this is one of them that I found very helpful. And it's kind of beyond shielding. So for a lot of people who are like experiencing extreme empathy and having a hard time protecting themselves from other people's negative experience, the bands of protection and power are really great. And then it also includes the center yourself meditation, healing to clear a cycling thought meditation, and what's mine and what's theirs discernment meditation. Now, this one my students love, because one of the hard things in relationship as a psychic, especially an empathic psychic, is like, what's mine and what is my partner's, or what's mine and what's this friend's, because you pick up on other people's stuff and it's like, is that mine or is that theirs? It's very confusing. So this meditation actually makes it clear, so you can understand, like, this is mine or this is theirs, or I'm only feeling this because it's their stuff and I just happen to be really sensitive. And right. And then if you're disowning something, it'll also show you that, like, no, actually you're projecting this on that person, but this is actually your stuff. So it'll give you the clarity on that. And a lot of people really like that meditation because it does get confusing when you have these gifts.
Right. And you pick up the dirt. Like, because I do a lot of readings in my reading area. I probably could mop the floor in here 5 times a day and it still would be filthy.
It's true. It's true. You have to have practice cleanliness as a healer. Yeah. You know, because there's a wide range of content available in the invisible realms.
Right. And, you know, when people come and they basically just dump everything, it's like, oh, great. Here comes another dust bunny of life. Let's go ahead and clean that up.
We're like the janitors. You know, I had a conversation with Shaman Durek that a lot of people are now tuning into again for some reason on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's strange. Maybe he shared it. I don't know what happened. But we talk about that in that interview. And that was years ago. That was like 7 years ago. And we were laughing because we're like the janitors. Like, we're just here cleaning up stuff. Like cleaning the floors, mopping the surfaces, helping people purge, you know.
Mm-hmm. All this, you know, negativity, all these blocks they create, you know. And I don't know. Sometimes I think humans are the biggest problem.
Well, you can definitely have that opinion, right? Because I've been actually thinking about how the collective right now is demonstrating our self-loathing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, like, as a healer, as I recognize that, it's up to me to hold myself through all the places where I'm also self-loathing. Because if I'm like irritated by other people, or I'm like upset because people are doing the horrible things that are happening right now, and I'm like assessing whether or not it's even worth it to have humanity exist at all, that is also deeply in me, right? Like, that's part of that. Right. Seed of common human experience.
Connectivity. But no, when I say that, you know, humans are their own problem, it's because they get stuck in patterns that aren't healthy. You know, and we're seeing this really emerge because we had that silent generation that really didn't share anything. Then you had us feral ones, you know, Gen X's.
We told everything.
We told everything. We parented ourselves. We went and dug up everything because it was like, there's more to this than what you're telling me, and I don't trust a dang thing what you said. Bring me the scripts. I want to see it in writing, that type of thing. And we saw this large expansion of spirituality, you know, from 1970 up until the mid-2000s. We saw a huge, like, everything just kind of poured out of everywhere.
And it's
then
true.
In, you know, in Gen Z, it's like, oh, yeah, that's normal. I'm an empath. Get the hell away from me. You know, and it's like, yeah, but you didn't learn how to use that. Yeah, you know, your career, you know, you have mediumship abilities. That's why your house is haunted. I don't care who and where you move to, what you do. You're still going to have these problems until you, A, deal with the emotions built up around that gift, and B, learn to use it. Here's a few books. Yes, they're old. They're paper. Go read them.
They're old and they're paper. That's funny. Yeah, and it takes longer than 2 minutes to digest it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think I shared with you that I train healers, and mm-hmm. I train them in the path of the Caro from the Andes, you know, the rainbow ponchoed right. Mesa uh-huh. carriers. And that is more than a weekend workshop. That is a path. Yeah. You know, and so walking a path takes dedication. It takes devotion. It takes mm-hmm. longer than 5 seconds. You know, it takes longer than a weekend. It takes longer than a year. So like my inner medicine training is 15 months, Asen, because that's how long it takes to integrate the gene keys. I mean, it just takes that long to get through your chart. Mm-hmm. You can't rush that. You could, but you would go insane and you'd be in a mental hospital. And we want to try to stay out of those. So
exactly.
You know, like, but yeah, people put themselves in that mental hospital when they don't learn the tools and practices for being consistent in their practice. And then
build the strength.
Yeah. And then there's all these weird, like, things that happen where people who are waking up to their spirituality, they'll also start to, if they haven't healed the patterns inside of mm-hmm. the victim, rescuer, perpetrator triangle, they'll start mm-hmm. to project that same triangle out into the spirit world.
Right.
But that's just a projection of the same dream. So if you want it to be different, you actually have to learn how to shift the dream so that what's showing up for you in the world is different than what you've been experiencing, is more aligned with what you think you want. But you have to heal. You have to do the inner work. There's no avoiding shadow work.
No, it's,
once your psychic gifts open up, you pretty much got to do it.
You got to do it, but you also have to, like, dig in there. And especially when you move into healing. Like, for me, when I took my Reiki 2 Isui, oh my God, the smell of meat made me sick as a dog for about 3 months. Like, I, you know, because I'm a carnivore. But I'm telling you, it was like, nope, I'll have a salad. I'm leaving. You can go cook dinner. It was the weirdest thing. Do you see that with your students? Like, different things just really pop for them.
A lot of the things that show up for my students are like emotional, mental mm-hmm. constructs. So things that recognition of deep patterns of behavior and thought that mm-hmm. are creating reality, and the recognition that you can create a different reality by shifting mm-hmm. the behaviors and the thoughts. That's a lot of what comes up. And in the process of integrating the higher frequencies, what you're talking about, like, we do a lot of rainbow light healing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if we're doing a lot of that, I actually had a student tell me that yesterday morning, she's moving into the next level. And she's like, I just wanted to have a conversation with you, Carrie, because I want you to let you know that this is working great. It's powerful. And I'd like to slow it down just a little, so that instead of having like a regular enema, I'm able to like just have really good bowel movements, you know, in terms of mm-hmm. the amount of healing that's happening and the integration my body's right. doing. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, because we start to forget as teachers, because I'm on my own evolutionary path and, you know, I keep pushing the envelope of that to go to the next place. Mm-hmm. And my healers are totally right there with me. But the intro people in inner medicine, mm-hmm. they're like, oh my gosh, like a fire hose just went through, you know, and clear all this stuff out. And how am I going to integrate this? So it's, you know, it's back to beginner's mind. I'm always having to bring myself back to that. And my body mm-hmm. will tell me, like you said, like your body will tell you when you're out of mm-hmm. alignment with something. when you need to slow down or when you need to take a, you know, eat something different or be more careful, take a salt bath, go grounds.
Exactly. You know, and I don't think a lot of, you know, because mediumship, old classic mediumship, there was a lot of training in that. Like the life they had to live, the harmonics they had to stay at. And then some of the healing stuff has that. Rainbow has a lot. But a lot of the other stuff like psychic reading, psychic development, all that, nobody talks about that fun stuff. You know.
It, well, it's, you know, in the training class that I do with my healers, one of the reasons I crafted it to be weekly over the course of a year, just for level one. And then there's level two, that's another year. And then level three is for a year. And it's every week, people. It's every week. Right. Not a weekend workshop. The reason why is because all the stuff that I learned in the Four Winds, for example, was excellent, right? It was amazing. Right. The healings, all of the methodologies, the practices. But nobody comes in and says, works with you, holds your hand through, that's a projection, sweetie. Yeah. That's your shadow. Let's like rewire that story. Let's see this in a new light. Like you need somebody to walk you through. It's a mentorship. You know, you've got to apprentice to move through it so that you can be clear in yourself in that hollow bone, because that's the most damage we can do is if we're projecting our stuff on other people. Unconsciously not knowing it, right? We have to own the shadow, but we can't do that alone in a vacuum. Like, and if we don't get mentorship, we end up using our clients as mirrors.
Right, which is even more scarier because this is what happens from my perspective, and you can compare it. Someone comes to you, and they've been to like 13 others, and it's like, okay, let's take this level. You know, I call it psychic cleanup, and it's where it's like, nope, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. Heck, that isn't even your life. What the heck are you carrying that around with? You know, and it's like having to break through these shields or these pieces, like plastic that's been put around them, and go, none of this is you. Why are you carrying it?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Ace. And I want to liken it or to the psychotherapy industry when they give a diagnosis.
Yeah.
That creates this whole attachment to your identity, like a box, a label that you now start to understand yourself through. And losing one of those is really tough, right?
Right.
It's hard to get rid of it. You know, it's hard to like move through it once somebody's assigned it to you that has a white coat and, you know, a label in the little three letters. But being a psychic, being a medium is the same way. So people trust us. When they start to trust this path, they trust you just as much as they would trust a doctor, you know, who's going to give a diagnosis. So you don't want to give them a diagnosis, like a dire outcome or any of that.
See, I don't mind giving the dire outcome if it's, okay, you're getting a divorce, and then you're going to take 3 years off of this bullshit romance because you've got some time to heal, and then you're going to meet a dude. You're not going to think anything of him, but it'll actually turn out to be a great relationship. Not, you know, but, you know, here's an example. I've had a client come, a couple clients come to me. I don't understand why my boyfriend's not talking to me. He's got to be cheating. He's, you know, 15 other people have told me he's cheating. And I'm like, he's not talking to you because you've been acting like you're batshit crazy. And they're like, oh, no. And literally, when they started breaking down, it's like, oh, yeah. I didn't have this problem till I had a reading with such and such. And she said that. And I'm like, here you go. So let's change this behavior and you'll see a different outcome with it. Because they don't realize that they've literally, it's like walking into a cloak of dirt. You bring it home and you start tracking it all over your house or all over your relationship.
Yeah, and you can't see it because you know, words cast spells, right? Like words cast spells. And so we're casting spells right now because we're weaving a reality together as we talk, right? So we're casting some spells. And everybody casts spells all the time when you're speaking. So the power of the spell is your belief in the spell. So when you go to see a psychic and you really believe in them because they've been recommended by 100 different people or that you know, or they have all these recommendations, you're like, oh my gosh, this person knows what they're talking about. And so you've assigned it now some dominance in your reality, probably over and above your own inner knowing, which is the main problem with all of this, right? Because the whole reason that you don't want the diagnosis from the psychotherapist is because you made them authority over your destiny. Bad choice. You know, stop that. Right. We don't want to do that with psychics either. But when we weave a web, it's just like a spider's web. That gets on you. And if you've ever walked right through a spider's web, it's hard to get that thing off because it's like partially invisible. It's so thin and silky. It gets in all these places in your hair and stuck. And that's what happens with these, you know, these spells that we cast with our words. They get stuck like that too.
Very much so. And I really like that you have a mentorship program. It isn't like you come to a workshop, you do a powerhouse workshop, boom, 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 boom. You know, four sessions in a weekend, everyone goes and vomits after the fourth one. And then, all right, here's your piece of paper. Go out and take care of your clients.
That's like you're integrating based on, you're out there in the world integrating. And of course, this is my judgment, right? So I want to own this because another perspective, so I'm going to share my perspective, which is that you're integrating by using the mirror of your client. In that way, right? So in some way you could be doing damage, you know, with people's realities because you're not really clear yet in yourself, you know, as a healer, if you've only just gone to a weekend workshop. And I did this, okay, because that's how the Four Winds operates. You go to the class for 5 days, you get all these huge downloads, you get all these integrations, and then you go do the practice for the next 3 months until you, you know, have the next class. But I know from personal experience, I probably projected a whole bunch of stuff on people as I was learning how to see, as I was learning how to intuit, as I was learning how to trust myself. And I was using my pendulum a ton because I was like, I don't want to screw anything up, you know, but I'm sure I still did because I'm practicing. So that's my perspective, is if we can cut down on some of that, if we do a mentorship program, you know, if we're working and understanding ourselves first at a deep level and then turning that lens towards us as a healer at the next deep level, we cut down on some of that chaos that could be created. But the other perspective is that chaos is the mess, and the mess is the healing, and everybody's signed up for it at some soul level. So we're all made these agreements at some higher soul level to have that experience. So, you know, so that's the other perspective on it, is that it's all meant to be that way anyway.
Right. But what would have been the, you know, let's go back 300 years. What would have been the traditional perspective?
Well, I think you would have been an apprentice. You would have apprenticed with someone before you went out and put your shingle up, you know?
Well, not only that, but you would have been chosen by the tribe. You would have spent years with the practitioner, you know, learning through doing, but also learning by watching, by living, by organizing. And that's kind of what you're doing with your mentor program.
It's hard work for them, I will admit, Asen. This is not a, you know, for people whose mentalities in the world are now down to, I can pay attention to you for 5 seconds.
Right.
It's very challenging to them to be hearing the proposition of, I'm going to spend every week with you for 15 months just to get you through your own inner awareness. And then it's another year in weekly sessions to get you through an awareness deep enough that you know yourself as a healer, that you can be a hollow bone with others. And then I'll put you on my website. You know, like it's not going to happen a moment before that.
Right. You know, and, but I think that's what it takes. Really and honestly, truly, I think that's what it takes. One of my trainers used to say, I've got to beat you like a piece of metal till you're as sharp as the blade of a sword.
You know, this makes me think of is that my husband has been, he was really after me for a while to like watch the Game of Thrones. I didn't want to watch it because the first episode made me really upset when the little boy got pushed off of the tower and he broke his legs and he almost died. I was like, who would do that to a little boy? I was like, I don't want to watch this series. And so I finally started watching it. And I'm at the part now where the youngest daughter is getting trained, you know, in basically a mystery mm-hmm. school, in basically right. how to be no one. That's right. so amazing. And for anybody who doesn't mm-hmm. know what I'm talking about, I hope I didn't spoil anything. And just, you know, if you want to go see a bunch of gore from your Viking ancestors, just go enjoy that, you know, that series. But
okay, in all honesty, because I've seen a good bit of it, not even touching the original gore, okay? Like, this has been whitewashed for us.
It's enough for me. It's enough. I don't need to remember the depth of it. You know, I already...
Yeah.
I already feel it, and I've had, anyway, we don't need to go down that tunnel, but
right.
what I, let's not, but what I want to say yeah. is that it's, I think a lot of these things, you know, that these initiations, you know, it's so interesting mm-hmm. that got presented to the public, you know, the mainstream
right.
to consume, like this whole idea of like somebody losing their identity in order to be initiated. Mm-hmm. Wow. What does that even right. mean? You know? So that's kind yeah. of a cool thing that it's out there.
Right. Well, and I kind of can see that, because as you take progressional steps, your identity changes.
It's true. Yeah.
Your views change. Your mind shifts perspective so much it's ridiculous. In any type of spiritual growth, that's what's called spiritual growth. And you also have to deconstruct what you've been predominantly programmed to handle.
Yeah, and it's... You know, I'm thinking back to my journey, my last journey to the jungle, working mm-hmm. with the Shipibo and
uh-huh.
in plant medicine ceremony, working with jaguar. So I integrated jaguar mm-hmm. a year ago. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the ceremony, after the integration, you know, they say the shamanic death. And so I experienced that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that would right. be like. There it was. And I went to black. I mean, I went all faded out to black. And when mm-hmm. I went up to the master shaman to get my healing, he uh-huh. faded all to black right in front of me. I felt like I could wave my hand and he wasn't there. Right. And, you know, and then he came back and he looked at me and he said, Puma. And he pointed to me and I was like, oh my God. And the whole rest of the ceremony, I tell this story in the book, in the inner medicine mm-hmm. book, but the whole rest of the ceremony, I was no longer seduced or entranced by the Icaros. Mm-hmm. I was completely mm-hmm. present with what was going on at all levels of the ceremony. And mm-hmm. I realized that that's a metaphor for life. Like, as mm-hmm. a psychic, as a human being, before mm-hmm. we wake up to our psychic gifts, we're all in the trance of whatever is entrancing mm-hmm. us. We're all just following along, totally seduced by the trance, don't even know we're seduced. When right. we start to wake up to our psychic gifts, we choose what seduces us. But then right. when we get through that level and that layer, we have our jaguar, we have our tracking medicine. Now we're aware of what's mm-hmm. going on and we're not seduced anymore.
Right.
So it's, you know, in some ways it's a bummer, right? Because everybody likes the visuals and ayahuasca and you want to go take the trip. Right. But at some point it's not about the trip. It's about being completely present on the planet with what is needed at the right. moment with your skills.
Right. Can we talk about that a moment? The ayahuasca and the trip, that it is not just, it is not something you go do as a tourist.
Some people do, but it's not advisable.
Right.
Because just like we were talking about with getting a psychic mm-hmm. reading and having that web put on you, you know, master shamans in the jungle, they have a lot more power than that person that's mm-hmm. psychically giving you a little story. You know, they have right. a lot of power. And if they are learning in this lifetime how to not wield that power as a sorcerer, and you happen to get entrapped in their web, you're going to have a lot more than just a little web on you. It's going to feel like a steel cage, mm-hmm. you know? So what you want to do is be really mindful about who you mm-hmm. give your power to in ceremony, who right. you trust with your consciousness.
Right. You know, yeah. But also I think that it can... In my view, if you're not ready for that step, it can blow gates and doors open that you ain't ready to deal with.
It can. And if you're not having an integration, like if there's no integration yeah. of the medicine, there's no like ongoing mentorship, apprenticeship, right. you just went to the jungle, took some ayahuasca, and then went home to your regular life, uh-huh. you're going to be really having a hard time integrating that experience. Right. And you can end up with something that looks like or presents like what the psychologists and psychotherapy industry designates as schizophrenia or things like that. But really it's just you took some steps with your consciousness wasn't really ready for yet. You opened a right. bunch of doors, and then you didn't know how to integrate it with your physical reality. You know, that's the, these open doors, these plants can open doors to your multidimensional reality. And, mm-hmm. but you're also here to be human. So you've got to right. be able to navigate both realms. Mastery
right.
is living the mundane world right next to the mystical world. That's mastery. It's right. not abandoning the mundane world because you find it boring or it's unsatisfying. Right. And you just want to fly off in a cloud. You know, that's not,
right.
that's not mastery.
Exactly. Right. So in your program, when would a student even get your blessing to go do ayahuasca? What level?
You know, that's a really interesting question because I'm not even pouring ayahuasca because yeah. I, you know, I don't, let's say I believe the plant knows when I'm ready
mm-hmm.
and whenever I'm ready, she'll place a bottle of herself in my hands and then I will be pouring. But until the moment right. that the plant herself says, Carrie Hummingbird, it's time. Here's mm-hmm. a bottle of me. It's time to start.
Right.
Until that happens, I'm not pouring a drop of it for anyone or myself right. without an expert. So that's why I go to right. the jungle. So, right. you know, after someone's been through a lot of inner medicine training, and inner medicine training is a lot of energy medicine, consciousness rewiring, practicing mastery, following the four agreements, the path of mastery, mm-hmm. you know, that's practice. At a certain level, you can navigate your inner realms. And when you can navigate your inner realms and be masterful with your shadows, now you can incorporate a medicine like ayahuasca. It can take you mm-hmm. deeper inside yourself, past the levels of egoic resistance that have built mm-hmm. up, right? Then right. it's useful. Then it's a really good, powerful tool. But you still have to find somebody, or, and I wouldn't even say find, strike that from the record. When you're ready, ayahuasca will simply keep presenting people to you that can take you on that journey. And then it's up to you to say right. which one. So right. if she's not presenting that to you in your reality, then I would say don't force it.
Right. You know, but no. First year student, second year student, third year student comes to you and goes, I want to do this. Because you've done this. Because I'm sorry, I have students that do this.
Then, yeah, because I have done about 30
you've
ceremonies.
Done this. You know. When do you say, okay, you can go do that?
You know, and it's really not up to me to say, okay, you can go do that, right? So uh-huh. they're in charge of their own reality. Everyone's in charge of their own reality. I don't place myself as the priest or the guru between right. my person and their soul. So what I am there for, though, is to help sanity check a person who wants to be sanity right. checked, right? So if my student's right. like, I'm really feeling this, I want to be sanity checked, can you help sanity check me? Then I'll sit down, I'll open sacred space, and I'll go in the hollow bone, let go of my judgments and my opinions,
mm-hmm.
and just see what's there, you know, and share what's there for me, and then listen to what's there for them, and work through it, you know. And there's no, like, I don't know what the outcome is because we're just talking in sort of right. a theoretical way, but right. it would be different for every person because I'm in right. the moment with whatever is coming through for that person.
Understandable. And yeah, we're in theoretical, which is hard to do when looking at it. But my point was, is it's not like, oh, you've been with me a week. We're booking you
check,
for
check.
Yeah.
No, there's no checklist.
Yeah.
It's not like that. Yeah. There's rough guidelines.
Right.
You know.
with all of it, you also take clients still. You know, you've not moved to that point of, no, we're just going to be teachers. You can book appointments. How does that work for you?
Oh, I love working with the hollow bone. I mean, I love teaching classes. So classes are awesome. And I love that. I love the group experience. Right. But I also love just individual healings because what happens in those healings is, first of all, they just pop on right. my schedule out of nowhere. You know, so it's like, whoa, there's a surprise person that's booked a healing out of nowhere. It's like, woohoo, okay, cool. I don't know who this mm-hmm. person is. And then I'll get in the healing with that person and then open sacred space, go in the hollow bone, let go of myself, and then bring mm-hmm. in the tobacco. And whatever comes through is like always for me so beautiful, like just so mm-hmm. amazing. And, you know, it's the mystery. It's the unfolding. It's the right. ancestors. It's their soul. It's, I mean, it's right. really a gift for me as much as the person, you know, to right. receive. But it's, I love it. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they keep coming, you know. I don't want to just be a teacher.
Well, honey, I promise you, after, more than, 20 years of doing this, they'll keep coming. And if you shut the door, spirit go, ha ha. Yeah. See that window over there?
They come into the window.
Exactly. I went on vacation. And, the
person. Vacation?
The person also said, we're going to where there is no cell phone, no internet. There's going to be no, you're not packing tarot cards. There's no need for you. You're getting a vacation. So we get this cabin up at Hocking Hills. There's no internet, no cell phone service, not even dial up. And, they arrange for wood to be delivered, groceries to be delivered, all that, right? Literally, the girl came to deliver wood, ended up doing a reading because she was having a problem with the boyfriend. Lady delivering groceries was having a work situation. I'm like, now do you see why it doesn't give me a vacation? I can do that when I'm dead.
Yeah, well, and it's like, in your heart when it's true, right?
Right.
In your heart, I need to do this as part of my sacred contract, as a healer.
Right. Yeah.
And then you can always ask for a break, but they'll try to do their best to give you one,
They'll slow down the stream, but they will not stop it.
They're like, oh, you're going to this mountain. Oh, we have 5 other people that need your help right now.
Exactly. And oh, while you're there, so you take your notebooks because we've got information for you to channel. And you've had a class on your project board for a month, so let's get that done while you're there. Oh, you're taking a vacation. That's cute. Here's your homework.
Yeah, and it is a little bit, but it's fun. See, that's the thing that's fun. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if it wasn't fun, we wouldn't be doing it.
Exactly.
And it's just not the same vacation that I used to have before all this opened up. Before all of this opened up in my life, my vacation was going to Hawaii and sitting by the beach and drinking Mai Tais, until I was drunk. Mm-hmm. That was my vacation. And I don't do that kind of vacation anymore. That's just not how it works for me. So,
nope. Matter of fact, you've got one plan for 2024, don't you?
Yeah, we're going to go to Peru, Sacred Valley, and mm-hmm. work with the shamans and do some energy clearing work and sacred locations and go to the holy mountain, El Sangate, mm-hmm. the holy mountain, and let the mountain see your heart. Whew, that's an experience. It's pretty intense. We're only going to spend one day there because last time it was quite intense for my people. And I was like, oh, whoops. Right. Okay. One day. And then we're going to go to Lake Titicaca, which I haven't been to yet. So I'm really excited to go there, Aizen. I can't wait to go to Lake Titicaca.
That would be fun.
I'm so excited.
Are you on the vibration that you believe Lake Titicaca is actually Atlantis? Or are you on a different vibrational view?
My understanding of it is through my training, which is that they believe it's the birthplace of the Inca. So that's what the Caro believe. It's the highest lake in the world. Mm-hmm. And but that's a really interesting idea, and I'll have to meditate on that. But I really love the idea of going there. And then if that was true, mm-hmm. I would probably have a lot of memories and things like that, which would be also cool.
Right. Right. So that'll be fun. So yeah. Go and get all this information at your website. Go ahead and give it to them and spell it for them for our international career.
It is Kerri hummingbird.com.
All right, darling. Well, thanks for stopping by. Come see me when you get another book out or when you get back from Peru.
Thank you so much, Aizen. This has been fun.
Yeah. All right, guys. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Lady Gwendolyn here from Rowan Temple of Light, and I'm here to tell you about our events this summer. First up is Beltane in the Hills, May 13th, and that is from 1 to 6. We have entertainment. We have a bunch of vendors. We have a fairy photo shoot. It's going to be exciting. Yeah, having any questions, reach out to Earth Magic or to myself. After that, we have Central West Virginia Pagan Pride, August 19th. That's at Holly Gray Park from 11 to 5 for the day. And we will have Sarah Masters coming down from Pittsburgh to be our keynote speaker. We have some great classes for that. So if you want to get involved, reach out to RowanTempleOfLight@gmail.com or just follow us along on Facebook at Rowan Temple of Light. And we look forward to seeing you out in the community. See you there.
Welcome back, goblins! My name is Jason, and I am the host of the Esoteric Book Club, a podcast that examines titles on the magical, paranormal, the mysterious, and the strange. I release two episodes a month, in which I review books on esoteric topics, recap news of the weird, and conduct interviews with authors, practitioners, and experiencers. The Esoteric Book Club can be found on every major podcast service, or can be streamed directly from esotericbookclub.org.
Hi, I'm Asen Knight. I provide tarot readings covering everything from love and relationships to your life questions and your spiritual answers. And also, I provide a lot of guidance in finances and divorces and all those relationship problems. So, if you'd like to get a reading from me privately, not on air, you can feel free to do so by visiting aceandknight.com and booking your appointment. I also provide on-demand services, so if your life is a little chaotic, you can go ahead and click that call now button there on my site. It'll connect you to Keen, and if you've not been with Keen before, you'll get 3 free minutes to talk with me, so that's great for a quick answer question. All right, guys, back to the show. Enjoy. Bye, y'all.
Hi, I'm Tracy Van. I provide a blended reading consisting of mediumship, psychic, and tarot cards. A reading from me can cover any guidance you need from relationships with your partner or your family, spiritual, financial, any questions you may need clarity on. If you would like to book an appointment with me, check out my website, tracyvan.com. That's T-R-A-C-Y. VANN.com. I have bookings from 15 to 60 minutes you may choose from. That helps if you just have a quick question, need an answer, or if you're looking for a reading in more depth, I'm here to provide the guidance and clarity for you. Let's just figure it out. Bye.
Good evening, darling. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you? Do you have a few things up?
Oh, I have a lot of things up.
Hey, Emily, Shannon, Brenda, Summer.
Summer.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
All right. So I have a reminder before we launch into Am I the Asshole?
Okay. Well, we have some talk first.
Oh, we have talk first? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What we got?
Well, I want to know what the reminder is.
Okay. So it is getting cooler. Mm-hmm. And this is from because I had a client call. Well, customer call. We'll call it that. If it heats, cools, or sucks, do not plug it in to a power strip, surge protector, or a battery backup. Your life will improve greatly if you do not do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Unfortunately. Yes. Now, granted, not all is lost. If you do that, some of the cheap power strips will die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll kill them. Most of the surge protectors will be okay. And most of the battery backups will be fine, but they will immediately turn off. So, yeah, there was an interesting moment there.
It can be. It can be very interesting, you know, and it's very important to remember your safety there.
Uh-huh. Yes, please don't burn yourself down.
Right.
Like, there's ways to stay warm, and a burning power strip is not a good one.
No. Nor is having a grill in your house.
It smells horrible. And it right. makes a noise like the 4th of right. July. So right. please don't do it. But yeah, no. Thankfully, their battery backup is fine. But
good.
There was a freak out.
Understandable. You know, something smoking would be a freak out.
No, it didn't smoke. It actually just popped it like a surge protector. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it should work fine tomorrow because it was the minute it plugged in. It was like, nope, Yeah. No. Mm-mm. Not what I'm here for. Not my job.
Exactly.
But I figured as it's starting to get a little colder, that might be a good reminder. Yeah.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right.
It's all righty.
All righty. So we have a topic first to talk about.
Okay. All right.
In your Slack channel.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the private link you sent me didn't take me anywhere. So
go to coffee shop.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
All right. So Keith Lee responds after sweetly seasoned review drama goes viral.
Oh yeah. So here's the situation.
Okay.
I'll give you guys the rundown, and then we'll talk opinions. So Keith Lee is a food reviewer.
Okay.
Okay. With that, he went down to Dallas, Texas, and was reviewing foods, and he's a very big TikToker. So this food truck was doing everything they can to get him to come review them because business always goes up. So he goes... He likes the story. He likes the food. There's a barber there doing haircuts. There's a girl doing braids.
Okay.
He tips the place $2,000. He tips.
Oh, this is that story. Okay, yeah. Got it now. Yeah.
He tips the barber $1,000. He tips the girl green braids $1,000. He gives the restaurant $800 to give out free food.
Okay.
The owner says on camera, you know, he tells the owner what he wants done with the money. Mm-hmm. Then she says she ain't doing it.
Like while he's still there or just like. Or,
no, this is after. Yeah.
Oh, so she's like, oh, thank you. That's amazing. I'm sure everyone will be happy. Thanks for visiting. Love you. Bye.
Uh-huh.
And then turns right around and goes, the hell I am.
Hell I am. They don't have nothing to do with my business.
Okay.
The girl doing braids takes it back to TikTok and says, excuse me, Keith Lee, this is what she done. And it goes viral. She done exactly nothing that Keith Lee told her to do. She gave out maybe three free meals. I'm like, damn, three free meals. That's $225 a plate of food for our food truck.
You know? Just pausing for a second. Really, small business owners, you're not getting it. It's the 2020s. We will fuck your shit on TikTok. Uh-huh. All right?
Yeah.
Just FYI. FYI.
Right.
Social media will kill you. Right. In a metaphorical sense, if you like step out of line, right. Especially when there's already a celebrity involved,
right?
Just step it out over right. here. Just if you're a business owner, a small business owner, and you would like to keep your business in the 2020s,
right?
Please stop doing this.
Well, not only stop doing this, but stop being cringeworthy.
You know, that'd be nice too, but like, I, you know, this is why we now have a whole conversation around the words personal branding, is because being a coherent, decent human being
right.
wasn't enough and was right. hard to understand for people. Mm-hmm. So we have personal branding to help right. with the bouncy ball
right.
of like, don't do this crap.
Right. So she got backlash from everybody. Like, nobody went to her business to buy food.
You don't say.
Yeah. She's been blasted on TikTok.
No. Really?
Really?
Sorry, I'm doing this from like the just right. the hilarity of it. Like, just right. seriously, really? You didn't
right.
you didn't see that coming at you.
Right. All it's right. like, are you insane? You asked yeah. for this, you were given a blessing, and you blocked it.
Yeah. And it gets worse.
Yeah.
It gets worse. There's another business.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I'm assuming, totally unrelated.
Exactly.
By the same name. Because this
close to it.
Yeah. Or close enough. Oh, is it just a close mm-hmm. enough?
It's a close enough.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think theirs is like one of Sweetly Seasons. Another one is Seasonally
Seasoned
Sweet.
Street Food.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh. So they're getting crap tons of, like, mm-hmm. oh, God. Like, this
right.
is, well, because this is bad.
Right.
And it's one of those things of, like, you don't want to be a business that sounds like this.
Exactly.
Like, you don't want to be in the neighborhood.
Right. You don't want to be in the neighborhood. You don't want to, you know, nope. But luckily, the girl went out. Like, as soon as she learned of this occurring, she was like, wrong place. Matter of fact, I'm going there later, and I'm going live. And we're going to talk to the owner. And the owner of this restaurant's sweet, nice, accommodating. Like, Keith Lee should have went there and ate. He would have had a better time.
And the tips would have been distributed as he wanted.
Right. So Keith Lee had to go back and go and do a response video and go, One, this is what I told you to do with the money. And two, I told you I didn't care how you distributed it, meaning I didn't care if you used Apple Pay, Cash App, cash, check, money order. That's what I meant by distribute it as you want.
Yeah, not.
Mm-hmm.
Or just keep it.
Right. That's like, not what that's I told you to do.
That wasn't, no. Someone who goes through and goes, I want to, like, this much to mm-hmm. this person, this much to this person, this much for this. No, they clearly identified what they wanted you to do with the money. I think here's the problem, though, is that for a lot of business owners,
mm-hmm.
there is this kind of, because it can be a bit wonky
mm-hmm.
in terms of, like, just because someone leaves you a tip and then tells you what right. they want you to do with it.
Right.
Do you as a business owner have to do that?
Yes.
Do you? Because a lot of business owners are kind of hardcore on this idea of mm-hmm. nope.
Right.
Like, I think it's ugly and dirty and you shouldn't do it. Like,
I think there comes an authenticity of this.
Do the thing.
Right.
Just do the thing.
Right.
Like, it's so much better for you to do the thing.
Well, it's so much better for you to shut up, do the thing, do what you're supposed to do what your customer says. Because we've been in those situations. Like, for y'all that don't know, you know, I make money at the event, Joe makes money at the event. But if someone says, here, give Joe, you know, here's your tip and here's your handler's tip, because that's occurred at a few high-level events. Here, Joe.
Okay.
No. Yeah. No second thought, no questioning. This is what you do.
Yeah, well, I mean, because it's frankly simple enough, and you got to be kind of greedy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, and I know small businesses, like, you can sometimes have those moments where, like, right. I really need money.
Right.
But it's also the recognition that, like, sometimes you just have to accept it's gonna be okay.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of the thought process you have to live under, is it's gonna right. be okay. Like, yeah, that's right. extra money sitting right in front of me right now.
Right.
And I could.
Right.
Potentially just do a cash grab and run away. but no good is going to come of this. Like, right. your employees had to have heard this.
Yeah.
Obviously.
The world heard this. Okay?
Right. Well, but I mean, like, even in, like, the moment, like, before right. the video is popular and everything else, in the moment, your employees are hearing mm-hmm. this.
Right.
Okay, you just made enemies out of his employees. There's no way around right. that. They are counting that money.
Right.
Because, honestly...
Right.
If you're in a tip-based industry, where right. tipping is customary, right. typically, tips are a big part of your compensation.
Yes.
Or they represent a very big boost to your compensation.
Exactly.
So, you know, when you're sitting there having those taken away.
Right.
No.
You know, so.
And I'm like, it wasn't even like she had a good idea on this one. Right. You know what I mean? Like, maybe instead of doing exactly what he right. said, maybe what I should do is, like, hold the money he said for you know, doing meals.
Mm-hmm.
And then evenly divide mm-hmm. between all of my employees that massive mm-hmm. tip. Because right. that would better represent, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, you're all amazing and it shouldn't be generating animosity.
Right.
Like, I could see that. I could potentially right. see that. Like, and don't take any money for yourself. Do not take money for yourself as the business owner right. in this moment. But even if, like, she had, the owner had done that.
Right. I think that would have done better.
But she followed herself.
Hmm? She has sunk herself. Now, they're trying to pull a PR campaign. Okay? What I mean by that is they've gone dark. They're thinking uh-huh. maybe a month uh-huh. and a half, they're going to relaunch under another name. So in Dallas, keep an eye out for a truck that has a different label. Maybe Miss Kim's Kitchen or, you know, whatever. Be questioning that, because do not forget, and this is what the internet has a very short attention span, do not forget this bullshit.
Well, and even if it works.
Right.
The reality is.
Right.
Like.
Right.
How much did that end up costing you? If you got to relaunch your business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've already taken the hit. You've right. already thrown out food, I will just about guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've bought supplies and now you're a pariah in your neighborhood, so no one's mm-hmm. going to your food truck.
Right.
You're throwing out supplies. So that's negative cash flow right there.
Right.
You're spending more than you're making. Now right. you have to rename your business, which at bare minimum is a reincorporation.
Right.
And then you've got to change all your shit.
Well, let's take all this even further. Okay, if we look at the other businesses he had reviewed in Dallas,
uh-huh.
they have lines around the block. All the way around the block, through a parking, like, they're having to do the ass hook through a Walmart parking lot to a food truck.
Mm-hmm.
They are raking in the money.
Yeah.
You could, like, have that
it
too.
It was your golden ticket.
Yeah.
You had the food quality.
Mm-hmm.
You had apparently great employees.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you blew it for the immediate cash.
Right.
Because you couldn't be long range enough to go, you know what? That's awesome. Let's do that. Right. Of what he said. Right. And just wait. Just wait.
Right.
Just wait till you are sold out every single day and you double that order and you're sold out again and you have to right. hire another employee and you still can't get the orders done right. fast enough.
Right. You know, and it's you're able day. To get from the food truck to a brick and mortar and, you know, boom, ba boom, ba boom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the, like, did you, like, lose your mind?
This is the moment you wanted, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think, I mean, I know some people are like, I'm just going to run a food truck because running a food truck is awesome, and I will run a food truck.
Right.
That's great and wonderful. But for a lot of people, it's like, no, this is the dream, is to start with a food truck. Like, that's enough of a cost sink, because opening a full-scale restaurant is a nightmare. Get your stuff down pat on a food truck and build a reputation and basically walk yourself cash basis into retail location.
Right.
Just walk yourself in it without having to take loans and risk your house and do all the things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, oh yeah, Brenda, I'm there. It's a case for you reap what you sow. She made a bad choice and is reaping the results. Yes, she is.
Yes. By the truckload, shall we say. But she did finally give the people their money. It took her a bit to get there. You know, that video, and I'm quite sure a contact from Keith Lee's credit card company.
I'm just sitting here because can I point out, was this a cash tip or did he, like, please tell me he does cash tips.
No, he done a card tip.
Ooh. Oh, see, okay, for a minor moment there, I would have to take a second and be like, do you know how bad you can screw up a small business with a tip that big?
Again, you've got 5-day clearance. She could have said, look, the money hasn't cleared yet. As soon as the money cleared, it's yours. Not, I'm not giving you anything.
Well, yeah, no. I'm not saying this justifies in any way. I'm just saying if I had a small critique here, because I just processed that. Don't.
Right.
Be very careful leaving generous tips.
Right.
Because for some businesses, a generous tip.
Right.
Can launch them into a fraud investigation.
That could have been, you know, then come out and tell them.
Yeah.
You know, as most people know, I just dealt with a company that wasn't even a fraud investigation. It was stupidity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was just, it was a glitch. It's basically what it comes down to is like... Yeah, y'all not been following that on my personal Facebook. It's would be hilarious.
Right.
But not for living through it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I can understand if it was one of those cases. You be honest with them. You don't act like a Looney Tune.
Well, yeah, you don't say, I'm not giving you anything. Like, you definitely go, look, this tip didn't do good things for us today because, you know, my card processing company just shut my account down.
Right.
Because that would be the realities that can happen when you're like high tipping a business.
Right.
Like typically it raises red flags if you tip more than the total.
Right.
Because generally the theory is it could easily be a mistake.
Right.
Like someone hit an extra digit and didn't mean to. Mm-hmm. Right. Somehow, some way, an extra button got pressed. So typically there's a pause on that to verify, did you actually mean?
Right. And that's normal. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, she got the money in her account and still said, nope, not happening. Oh, I got it resolved. You can now pay with, you know, Stripe on to book an appointment with me. Mm-hmm. I prefer you to use PayPal. PayPal's Please always nicer PayPal. To you and nicer to me. But you can now use Stripe to book an appointment with me. It got resolved and no keywords were injured.
No keywords were injured. Oh, I know. Like, it was, 12:02 last night, he comes busting through the bedroom door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's resolved! Because he saw the email and then immediately went and pulled down the money.
Yeah.
It was like, no, we're not playing.
Yeah. We're not playing with you and your bullshit.
No, I want my money.
Yeah. Because this, you know, everyone knows my saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with my business. Don't fuck with my men. Don't fuck with my family. And keep your ass on my bank account. Basic rules of ASIN.
You know, they're not bad rules. And I think if more people did that.
Right.
Right. In general. But no, like, I could understand, like, if it did trigger problems.
Right.
And I think it's one of those moments where you do have to recognize, while you're being kind to a business,
mm-hmm.
please be careful with your generosity and how you express it.
Right.
Because sometimes you can do more harm than good, because most small businesses can't take much.
Right, but on the other side of this, the flip side of this, and we've seen a few cases of this. If you're going to give a blessing, give it in cash. Or give it on that, like if you've got right there, they had three businesses working together. Mm-hmm. Keith, take note of this and go, nope, Barbara gets, like, hey, Barbara, let's, you know, figure out how to, like, pause your live, whatever you're doing. Because I think that everybody was on live, which is his reasoning there. You know, come off live. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to need you to bring up your cash app.
Yep.
And seriously, like, that is typically going to be a better solution. Like, if you want to leave generous tips like that, instead right. of splitting it through the business center.
Right.
Do it direct. Here is your money.
Right.
I mean, it's just one of those things. I just...
And it's like, when I tip waitresses, I normally try to tip cash if I can.
Yeah.
Point blank. Yeah.
And then when you get into the thing of, like, okay, you want to create... what effectively breaks down to, like, can I buy, like, however many gift cards worth of $800?
Right.
Or some version of that you can use to give out free meals.
Right.
Like, to people who are homeless, people you see in need.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah. Just, I would like to prepay some gift cards.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because then you can run that as an actual transaction
mm-hmm.
instead of a tip.
Right.
Like, right. because, again, tax-wise, this can get a little wonky.
Well, it can get a little wonky, but at the same time, this owner could have handled this much better. She thought mm-hmm. she was going to get some spotlight and $4,800 extra in her pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no. No, ma'am. No. No, ma'am.
Right. Right.
Like, I
yeah.
Which is
all so... right. So, are you an asshole?
Am I the asshole for eating the food my father-in-law served me and, quote-unquote, ruining my boyfriend and I's holiday? Background info. I, male 41, am a white American, and my boyfriend, male 38, is Moroccan and half black. His parents took a dislike to me the moment we met. We've been together for 2 years, and he lives in America. The incident in question took place a few days ago. This is only my second time meeting his parents. His mother has been relatively quiet, but it's obvious she feels the same as his father, who is on an all-out warpath. They think that I'm a typical useless American party boy and not good enough for their son, who is an all-around goody-two-shoes. They are wealthy government employees who think that they're contributing a lot to the world, unlike me. Now, it is important to note that I'm also wealthy, self-made, and high-ranking in my career, so I'm not attempting to get on any gravy train. My boyfriend and I are staying at their home in Morocco. The four of us sat down for dinner cooked by their private chef. Everybody got a bowl of some Moroccan food that smelled really good. I noticed that mine looked paler than the others and didn't have as much of a smell. I didn't comment at first, but then his father outright said, as if he was doing me a favor, that he told the chef to put a portion for me aside before she added any of the seasoning because he thought that, quote, my palate wouldn't handle the spice well. I have no issues with spicy food. I could tell that my boyfriend was already uncomfortable and he told his father that I could eat what they're eating. I managed to keep my cool despite being really pissed off and told him in no uncertain terms that I could handle spicy food. Next thing, he took my food and went back to the kitchen. When he returned, my food was a shade darker than everyone else's. I realized after the first bite that it wasn't just spicy. It was inedible. My boyfriend noticed my reaction and told his father off before telling me to stop eating it. But I did. I ate the damn food. And I've never in my life eaten anything like it. There must have been an entire bottle of hell in it. The pain. But I persevered, much to my boyfriend's protest. His father simply watched. I was sweating buckets, felt sick, almost had an asthma attack, another reason that my boyfriend was angry with me because I put myself at risk, but I ate the whole bowl. Then I left the table victorious, but dying a death. Fast forward, I have been in bed for 3 days. Still feel messed up, may not survive. My boyfriend says I should have been the bigger person and that there were no winners. That eating the whole bowl was as childish as his father was for serving it and only harmed me. He's been taking care of me, but he's also blaming me. I don't think I was the asshole, even if the last 3 days of our vacation have gone down the drain. Too long didn't read. My boyfriend's father served me an edible food to be petty, so I ate it to be petty and derailed mine and my boyfriend's vacation plans, and I wouldn't change a thing. Am I the asshole? Take it away, because
you're not the asshole. A petty bitch. I'll give you 5 points for being a petty bitch, but you're not the asshole. Your father-in-law, however, needs to know who he's up against better. He should have used that government job to pull a background report on your ass.
I mean, my internal thoughts are, part of me has appreciation for he threw down a gauntlet, you poured gravy on it, and ate it. Metaphorically. You wish you had had gravy. Or milk,
yep.
Or anything. Just anything at that point.
Right.
like you almost, I'm sure at this point, wish he had tried to poison you.
Right. And he possibly did.
But, you know, I think I have to go with one of the top comments on this post as the official answer. You may not think you're the asshole, but your asshole thinks you're the asshole.
Right.
I'm so sorry your boyfriend's parents don't like you for whatever reasons. But I do have to comment that you got to stop here. You're trying to win in a situation where winning is not an option. More to the point, you're trying to get approval from his father that your boyfriend doesn't care for you to get, especially if it's going to be like this.
Right.
So just stop now.
Right.
Like, right. Let it go. Oh, so to the comments, my husband and his bestie would order those hot sauces and put it on stuff, and to hang out with them, you had to eat all of them. Why do we do this to ourselves? Oh, I was just with my friend going, you all can hang out by yourselves. I'm not eating that. Right. Brenda says, watched an ex and my cousin keep adding more and more heat to wings. Man, shaking my head. They were trying to outdo each other. Yeah, I've watched one of those go down at a Firehouse Subs. And the end of this battle involved ghost pepper hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I literally watched a coworker go, because this was coworkers playing this game. I watched a coworker of mine go into shock.
Right.
Like, there's no other words for it. Like, he turned gray.
Mm-hmm.
Like, orifices of his body were just, like, he was uncontrollably drooling.
Mm-hmm.
In a cold sweat, tears streaming down his face, eyes bloodshot.
Right.
Just, he, like, no. No. Ruined his whole evening. We actually, it was before a game of bowling. We were in a league. And so, yeah, we had to forfeit that because not only did he have to leave, but the coworker that he was doing this with was the one that had to take home.
Right.
So we ended up too short for a game.
Right.
But yeah, no.
Right.
Why? I've never gotten it. Why? Why do you want to pay perfectly good money for perfectly good food?
Right.
I'm learning some Firehouse Subs.
Right. Now, you know, I have problems, and they may be cultural problems, but I have problems with this whole scenario.
Okay.
One, he is a guest at this man's house.
Mm-hmm.
He should be, the father should be not only making sure that he has the best food that they can provide, but it's of his palate.
You'd think, right? Right. Yeah. I don't think this is very uncommon.
Right.
All around the world, from anywhere you want to go to anywhere else you want to go, I think it happens. It's just petty. It's petty, mm-hmm. childish people. I don't care how much money or education you have. You can be a petty, childish human.
Right.
And it's some twisted form of entertainment.
Right.
I don't think it's cultural. I think anywhere in the world, like, you can see it in the hollers of West Virginia.
Right.
Apparently all the way to Morocco.
Right.
From China to probably somewhere in the Antarctic, someone is pulling some petty ass shit.
Right.
Like, there's no limit.
Right.
Anywhere in the world, you're gonna find petty, childish people.
Right. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I agree it violates hospitality rules, but at the same time, like, and it's just such a weird, like, in-law, like, dynamic.
Right.
Like, sometimes it's food, sometimes it's, like, how many ways can we make you uncomfortable? Here's the most uncomfortable bed in the house. Here's the bedroom with the toilet that doesn't work and runs all night. You know, like, whatever someone can do just to the screws on you just a little or a lot.
Right.
You know, as is with this case, to make you uncomfortable, unwelcome, and try to run you off.
Right.
I've never understood it.
Right.
Like, don't you know the rules of parenting? The fastest way to get rid of someone is to like them, to love them, to say nothing but good things about them. You just, the sun sets in their magical unicorn fart clouds.
Exactly.
And at that point, most people, I don't know what's wrong with Hasten, but most people will run from that person.
I don't know. You know, my mother buys you clothes.
I know. I'm saying magical unicorn fart clouds.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I bring.
Right. Right.
Oh, so Brenda says, even if I don't like you, if I feed you, I'm not messing with your food. I will still fix you good tasting food.
Exactly. All right.
Fair enough.
I think the worst my dad ever done was get my boyfriends drunk. Like, that was his thing. Can you drink whiskey? Can you drink moonshine? Can you handle your liquor?
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been a very short experience for me. Uh-huh. It would have been the cheapest he ever got one of them drunk.
Uh-huh. We would have seen. But anyhow. All right, so the poll is up. The options are, yes, he's the asshole for eating the fire food from hell. No, he's not the asshole. Everyone is shitty here, and damn, you're a deal pickle.
Really, all right, think we should have called it damn, you're in a jalapeno jar on that one.
Hey, we're not adding another issue.
All right. Do I have a right to be upset? 38 female, 40 female. My wife, 39 female, and I have been together for nearly 5 years and married for 3. It's both of our second marriages and first same-sex marriages, as we were both married to men previously and have a child each from said men. My ex is a textbook narcissist, and I have really struggled and fought to get out from under his control, both when my wife and I were dating and then now vicariously through our son. When I left my ex, I got 50-50 custody because I was honestly terrified of him and thought he wouldn't do to our son what he did to me. But I was wrong. A week and a half ago, my son, 9, reported to school that his father had hit him. When this happened, my wife was a freaking superstar and supported me and my son like crazy. We are now awaiting a hearing with the courts for temporary custodialship and hopefully a long-term modification. We have been in and out of court with him since I left due to his failure to follow our parenting order. He has always towed just outside of the line of a big enough issue to change the 50-50. But now I think we have a shot. That being said, my son is currently at his father's house since the court didn't grant an emergency hearing, and he's being thoroughly love-bombed. We dropped a large chunk of change on a private investigator due to allegations of drinking and driving and some other shady behavior. But of course, my ex is being dad of the year right now. When I spoke to my son last night, he was really hesitant to say anything about his father and said things have been good and that his dad told him hitting him was a one-time thing. After hearing that call, my wife started saying that if this doesn't change the custody, she's not dropping any more money on it because my son doesn't see a problem with his dad and his behavior. I tried to explain abuse cycles and survival to her, but she focused instead on the things I have done to her as a result of my trauma and bad decision-making and asked how it is any different from asking her to stay with me. I had a bad habit of lying to avoid conflict, which culminated in cheating a year ago. I've done a lot of work on myself and fear/negative self-talk since then to try and show change. My son's father hit him, and son is currently saying he's having a good time at his dad's. My wife, who is honestly a superhero, says if he doesn't see the problem, then maybe he deserves it. Not gonna lie, I've put her through it, and I try every day to show her how grateful I am for the chances and support she's given me. I'm struggling either way, because this feels like victim blaming a 9-year-old. I know I'm going to get torched for the infidelity. I know she's under no obligation to support my custody battle, but I can't help feel a way about the whole if an abused 9-year-old doesn't see the issue, then he deserves it approach. Should I check my feelings at the door?
No. No.
Okay, so one, there's just the whole fucked up ex relationship, custody,
right.
Nightmare,
nightmare,
and hitting of a 9-year-old. Right. That's one whole set of problems for a human being to have to deal with.
Exactly.
Then there's the issue of, like, the relationship and the struggles that have been going on in it and how that's working out.
Right.
And then there's this actual current issue
right.
of what your wife has said versus the situation that she's saying it in.
Right.
And the context of it.
Right. Mm. Furthermore, we have the 9-year-old here that I'm quite sure his call is being monitored.
Oh.
Quite blank. Okay. That's a problem for me. For the wife to be taking anything he says while in the custody of the father with a grain of salt.
That is certainly an issue.
Okay. That's something that the wife needs to understand and needs to get with real quick. Yeah. Two, there is more physical abuse going here and endangering going on here than one weekend. Point blank. The dad can be buying, groceries, gas station roses for the kid. But that's not going to last. Guarantee. That is not going to last one bit. Furthermore, there are ongoing issues. You should have been back to court with this. You already should have him stripped of custody. You should have required a drug test. My perspective here is you got to get up and fight with or without your wife.
I think I'm going to start it. I can understand
right.
the wife's frustration, especially if she has not been through abuse and right. does not otherwise know anyone who has.
Right.
So on that level, it's not that I don't understand her frustration. Right. I do. Because this can start to look like it is a lot of back and right. forth. Like right. we're spending money to go back to court.
Right.
But then we can't seem to ever catch him mm-hmm. just bad enough to modify right. the custodial agreement.
Right.
We can't seem to get the court to believe this is an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
We're dropping money on a private investigator who can find nothing.
Right. Right.
And now the 9-year-old who kicked off the latest one by telling us he's been abused
right.
has turned tail
mm-hmm.
and is now like, Dad's great.
For
that's
the moment.
Frustrating. That's frustrating. Well, but right. see, here's the thing. In context of like the wife's view, this is all really fucking frustrating.
Right. Right.
And without that level of understanding that, mm-hmm. yeah, this yeah. is how the abuse cycle goes.
Exactly.
It is a constant, never-ending, destabilizing emotional roller coaster
mm-hmm.
of amazing highs and terrible lows, not a lot in between,
mm-hmm.
and you eventually get to a point you love the highs. And
right.
you just wish you could live there because right. they're amazing.
Right.
And doing everything you can
right.
to avoid the lows. Just anything and everything and hoping. Because
mm-hmm.
right. no one wants to believe their spouse is a horrible person.
Right.
No one wants to believe their father is a horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and especially when they did such good things, that high mm-hmm. of highs.
Right.
It becomes hard to reconcile in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for full grown adults.
Yeah.
That is for people age 18 and older struggle
mm-hmm.
to get out of this kind of abuse.
Right. You know, and my other question is, where's the therapy? Where's the therapy? Quickly get this child into therapy.
Oh, most definitely. I don't know if there already is therapy or not. If there isn't, then yes, most definitely.
Right.
But I think at the beginning of this is that, you know, OP/mom,
mm-hmm.
I think is really, like, your child's therapy is important. Your therapy
mm-hmm.
really needs to be prioritized.
Right.
Because you're still giving your ex the benefit of the doubt and or hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're still living the abuse cycle. You're still living right. in it. Okay?
Right.
You're still contributing to this, like, well, if we just don't upset him,
mm-hmm.
if we just play the part, if we don't do anything, if we don't move wrong.
Right. Right.
And this isn't blame. This is just acknowledgement of this is where you are.
Right.
And for the best for you, your wife, your child, your future, like, you insert whatever you want to here. You've got to get out of it. You cannot live there. You cannot think that you're going to sit here and for the next 9 years just appease mm-hmm. this man.
Right. And ride the train of insanity.
Yeah. Because that's what you're going to be on is the insanity right. train. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back right. and forth.
Right.
You have to be able to advocate for both yourself and your child
mm-hmm.
outside of trying to appease him.
Right.
His comfort is not your concern.
No.
And furthermore, the whole problem comes in is that the abuse cycle teaches you that you're responsible for someone else's actions and behavior.
Right.
If you didn't say the wrong thing, he wouldn't have done that. If you didn't right. do the wrong thing, he wouldn't act like that. If you right. had had dinner on the table at precisely 7 p.m., he mm-hmm. wouldn't have hit you.
Right.
You're internalizing things that are not your responsibility.
Right.
Dinner's late. Dinner gets burned. Crap happens. Life occurs.
Right.
You are not responsible for someone else's emotional outburst and inability to act like a mature, stable adult.
Exactly.
Please get that into your brain.
Yes.
Because the sooner you do, the mm-hmm. better things will go with your wife
mm-hmm.
because you don't have to internalize what is starting to appear like, I don't want to call your wife a necessarily bad person, but I think you may be glossing over some of her faults mm-hmm. because you keep calling her a superhero, and that always concerns me in someone who comes out of an abusive relationship into right. a new relationship because your definition of a superhero is warped.
Warped.
Because right now your amazing spouse is just someone who doesn't beat the crap out of you and treat you like right. total garbage.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily mean that they're a solid 10 on the spouse scale.
Right.
And it looks like your spouse has some issues with empathy
mm-hmm.
and understanding.
Right, and needs to be educated because they're dealing with an abuse victim in a relationship. You guys have already had problems because of your abuse victim.
Yeah, like, and she's going to have to, your wife is going to have to understand that some of the trauma is not going to go away.
Right.
And it is does not mean that it's her responsibility to prevent you from ever having a trauma trigger.
Right.
It does mean she has to understand what they are mm-hmm. and what that means.
Right.
That, you know, some of the things in your life that are getting trauma triggered,
right,
y'all could have a much better relationship looking at ways to sidestep those. Like, and at least understanding what's going on and why would make things go better.
Yes.
Instead of blaming you for being triggered by everything, a situation that has occurred.
Right. So my advice is therapy, therapy, therapy. Get a good lawyer. And fine, she doesn't want to put any more money to it, you do it yourself. All right, so let's take a look here and see. Just, are you the asshole this week?
Am I the asshole?
Ooh, this is a dead split.
Ooh!
No, you're not the asshole, but everyone is shitty.
Okay.
Yep. All right. All right, guys. I'm running my normal cycle. Things are back up and running. I'm taking appointments now via phone, Zoom, chat. Email readings are up and running. I'm also on the networks. If I want to make this very clear, because I had to explain to someone last night, I offer appointment blocks when I have the availability to take appointments. I cannot sign out of a network situation to take your appointment. So either A, choose a network. Trusted Partners got all my networks there. Choose the one that best fits your needs.
Yep.
Or B, book an appointment for the next availability.
Yeah. And I think that's worth explaining real quick, because when he comes off network, it is not a light switch.
Right.
It's not a light switch. It's 30 minutes to log in and get recognized on the network and typically get your first client.
Right.
It can take up to 30 minutes for him to get off a network before he can reasonably expect that calls will no longer be coming through.
Right.
So that means that he has to pad, if he were to do it, would have to pad your appointment by a whole hour, 30 minutes in front, 30 minutes after.
Right.
But if you want to pay for a 2-hour appointment,
well,
he still isn't interested.
Right. And because, you know,
it's a pain in the butt and it messes up the whole night.
It not only messes up the whole night, but it messes with the network and the network clients. Like, you know, yes, they're paying a little extra for on-demand services, and
yeah, or take a deep breath, says Brenda, or take a deep breath, schedule and wait, you know, multiple calls and messages.
Right.
Like, breathe through it.
Breathe.
He will be there. He will take care of the call.
Right. You know, and or use the network. You're going to get a better rate on the network, especially if you're a first-time client.
Yeah. And you can do it per minute.
You know, and it is permanent, so that fits you better. And there, you know, there's other things. If I log out, like other network, I mean, there's just a lot of, we're just not doing that.
Yeah, it does not go well for anyone, because basically it becomes the Bug Zapper advisor.
Right.
He's here. He's gone.
Right.
And the system does not like that.
No, not at all. And the system doesn't like a lot of other things. So we're not playing that. Yeah. I don't want your reading to be interrupted with a network that didn't recognize that I was out. And this happened this morning. I signed out. I was, you know, putting the load of laundry in, fixing my dinner. Yeah. Network rang through. The system didn't recognize that. Not only is it past my time, and I've logged out and even powered down my computer, they still sent me a call.
Yep.
Because it was in that window of operations.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other part of that is that at best, he lucks up and he closes out 30 minutes before your appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't get a call or chat. That's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is in that window, a client comes through that wants to talk for an hour. More than the bug zapper do they hate when you hang up on a client who that wants to talk to you.
So
that makes them mad.
Respect the blocks. Please use the other options. That's why I created the Trusted Partners page for that. And so anyone that sees ASIN on a website can go and go, hold up. Is this the real ASIN? Nope, it's not a trusted partner. So it's not the real ASIN.
There you go. The genuine ASIN.
Exactly. And that's not the experience I want to give my private clients either. Like, my privates, I love you. I want to give you full attention when it's our time.
Absolutely.
I think it's because, you know, the networks just keep calling and it's like ding a ding a ding, ding a ding. I can't do that. That's not fair to you. No. I value your time with me more than to get distracted by 14 calls in a 15-minute period.
Absolutely. That would be horrible.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah. So these are the things we deal with. And again, please use PayPal. Yes, I do offer Stripe as an option, but PayPal is the better one.
Yes. All right. Savannah is going to take it away. Of course, we want to thank Beverly Walker, Mika G, Kathy, Mary Winfield, Brenda, Shannon C, Shannon D, Lady Gwendolyn, Charles Shaw, Tracy Van, Caitlin Bell, and Devin. If you'd like to learn more about us, the show, or how you too can become a Patreon sponsor and receive all the wonderful benefits our baristas receive, please visit us at pcspnetwork.com.
Yes. All right, gosh, you have a great evening. And if you need me, I'm just a phone call away. And we'll see you Thursday night.
Bye.
Bye.